Blog Talk Radio.
Good. Oh, hi. We're on the air. Oh, my gosh. I was waiting for the theme song, and I realized that we don't have the theme music anymore because I switched networks. So, oh my gosh.
That's hilarious.
I'm just sending a tweet to Jimmy saying, hey, Jimmy, wake up.
Time to come and play.
Yeah, come on. Get your coffee and come on into the studio because he's not here. Oh,
he's
no.
So funny.
So you have tuned in. You have tuned in. Ha, you have tuned in to Let's Talk TV on Blog Talk Radio Network in collaboration with Blog Critics Radio Live. And this is our weekly chat show. We talk about mostly genre TV, but we talk about all kinds of TV stuff. And sometimes we get on sidetracks and we talk about other stuff too. And we generally just have a really good time for like an hour or hour and a half. I allotted an hour tonight. Next, just a note, next Tuesday's show, very, very important because it will be the first show after the mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead, and we are going to take apart the show, scene by scene by scene by scene.
Awesome.
So I'm going to allot a whole hour and a half just to The Walking Dead. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. So, Chrissy, have you seen the first two minutes of this? Have you seen the first two minutes of the episode?
Oh, yes, the moment I got it in my email.
I know, I love those emails.
I know, too. It's, like, exciting. It's, like, something, okay, ooh, it's, like, opening something on Christmas Day because I've been waiting. I mean, this, you know, I understand why they break up the season, but, boy, is it hard during that hiatus. I mean, Sunday nights without walking.
You know,
torture.
I just hear this and hear this and hear this, but I remember House and those huge, long hiatuses that would go It would be like December 6th would be like the last one. And then they'd have like one episode in January. And then American Idol would come on and it would be March. So it was so painful, those hiatuses. And you'd get one episode and then you get three off. And then you'd have one more episode. It's like, oh, I hated that. And the X-Files was like that also.
The X-Files. I would go crazy. I mean, you know, and it was just torture. And, you know, of course, back then it wasn't social media, so I'm so excited it's coming back because, oh, my God, I already set up my X-Files Addict Twitter account. I'm so excited about that.
You know, what I'm going to have to do, this is, like, so funny, because during the X-Files days, there was a listserv, so you could post stuff, and it was called Alt-TV. alt.tv.xf analysis. And there was X-Files analysis, which was the serious analytical stuff. There was the fan fiction listserv. There was just X-Files fans. I mean, there were all these listservs. And all that stuff is still out there. So I had my own website that was reviews.
Uh-huh.
See, I started even back then in the early 90s, mid-90s.
Wow.
And I had my own website. It was Barbara's Creative Spot, something like that. And it was on the old AOL.com page.
Oh, my gosh.
Page. Yeah.
Ancient. Wow.
It was called Barnett's Creative Space. That's what it was called. And I had on it all my fan fiction and all my episode reviews. So what I'm going to have to do now is I'm going to have to go back and I'm going to have to republish all that stuff because you can't.
Yeah.
You can find that stuff. You can find that stuff on the Internet Wayback Machine. Have you ever heard of the Internet Wayback Machine?
No, I've never really heard of it. What is
it? So this is the cool thing. The Internet Wayback Machine is where everything that's ever been on the Internet, like for the last 20 years or however long the Internet's been around, it's there.
Wow, really?
So stuff that I, like, posted in, like, 1995 is there. It's like there.
Oh, wow.
Or 1996 or 1997. It's there.
So it didn't just like disappear into the abyss of darkness,
right,
or whatever the internet is.
Exactly.
Because that's how,
exactly,
I look at it. It's like, okay, it's just out there in La La Land. Well, that's interesting. I'll
have
to check that out.
Right.
So how do you access that?
So what you do is you can go, and I'm going to do this because I do this sporadically. Hold on one second.
Uh-huh.
So you go, you can Google the Wayback Machine. You know,
uh-huh,
it's like Peabody and Sherman, the Wayback Machine. Ha, ha, ha. Get it?
Right. Yeah.
The Internet, it's called the Internet Archive. Uh-huh. It's at HTTP, it's like archive.org/web.
Okay.
And basically what you do, it's archive.org/web, and it is literally everything. So if I go, like, search,
oh,
okay, I'm going to search
right here.
Barnett Creative.
Oh, that is so cool.
So I'm going to search that.
452 billion web pages saved over time. That's incredible.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow.
So if I look up, let's see, what was the name of, like, one X-Files fan fiction?
One of my favorite ones, This Is Not Happening, from season 8.
No. Something that I'm looking for something. Barnett's, I can't remember the name of the site. Barnett's.
If you just put X-Files in, would it come up?
X-Files. Let's see. No, it didn't find anything. But a lot of my fan fiction was on MulderTorture.com. You remember MulderTorture.com? That was a fan fiction site in Gossamer, and so all of that stuff was on that site. And now I can't remember. I can't remember the name of my old site, but it'll come to mind. But anyway, what I can do is go up, and I actually wrote like about 10 or 12 or 15 episode reviews, and that was kind of my beginning of writing episodes. Way back then.
That's so cool. It's
20
like,
years
I
ago.
I never even knew you could do all this, to be honest with you. The way I just kind of morphed into all of it, and it's so much fun.
Back in the day.
I mean, you know. And now, I mean, I just cannot wait for the X-Files thing. I'm going to start doing a series of podcasts and stuff as it gets closer. You know, maybe, I don't know. I hope that we get it. We're probably not going to get it till maybe the spring of next year, maybe, though. I mean, I don't know. Jillian's got all kinds of stuff in the hopper. I mean, she's on the fall right now, and she's going to be doing, of course, Hannibal.
Right.
So,
right.
So they're gonna, and it's gonna be a limited run series. Like, I think they should do it sort of like what they did with 24. They brought that back for a limited thing, and maybe
right.
if they want to do another, you know, so it'll be like one story, which I think will be fantastic. And I think it's much better that they're doing that versus a movie because we're gonna get you get more hours to tell a story. A and B,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we've been clamoring. I mean, fans have been clamoring for it forever. I mean, even the 20th anniversary, I mean, that was just like everybody, you know, when they – I missed that Comic-Con. I was really bummed because I hadn't got my credentials that year yet. But you know, from what I heard, it was just, you know, everybody was asking, are you going to do a movie? Are you coming back, you know? And I know David Duchovny, he just finished his Californication, so it's
right.
kind of a good time. I think if they can just come up with a really great story, I think they really do need to sort of bring the whole series, including the movies, sort of full circle now because, you know, the first movie was fantastic. I mean, I adored it. So much. I mean, it was just the way that you like it, you know, the whole conspiracy stuff, the UFO stuff, whatever. And then, you know, the second movie was okay, but it was a standalone. And I think that
right.
now we need it to come full circle, and we need more answers about, you know, what happened to William and that whole thing. And like, we never really, they never delved into Mulder's, you know, sort of experience. You know, we got a little bit of it when he sort of, you know, comes back to life in season 8. But they never, and even in the second movie, we really didn't see a lot of the, you know, the emotional and,
right.
you know, stuff that you would want to know. So that's what they need to do.
So I just found, like, on alt.tv.xfiles, my my review. It's like, it goes back. It's like Google Groups, right? So, because those oldies, RecArts TV things got moved to Yahoo Groups, and then they became, they're Google Groups. So I just found one, Little Green Men, a character review by Barbara Barnett.
Little Green Men, that was a great episode.
Why does Little Green Men remain as one of my favorite episodes? It's all about the characters. We learn how Mulder copes with the death of Deep Throat and the closure of the X-Files in its aftermath. We see the depth of Mulder's depression at being put on meaningless wiretap. Oh, my gosh. This is, like, so fun.
It's so cool to, like, revisit everything.
Barnett's Creative Outlet. That's what it was called. Oh, my gosh. And
Barnett's,
I just found the URL for it. I've just found the URL for my old site, which doesn't exist anymore, but I could put it in the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
Very
cool.
That's
what's cool. So anyway, so I got on this, we got on this tangent, right? So
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay. When you talk about the X-Files, you bring that up, and I'm just,
this is why we need Jimmy, you know.
Anyway. You know, Jimmy keeps us on track.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about, first of all, I want to talk about Walking Dead. And I want to give a huge, gigantic, ginormous
thank you.
To Mr. Norman Reedus. Thank you, Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl Dixon on The Walking Dead. He is awesome. And both the actor and the character, because I wrote an article today, and everybody should go to Blog Critics and read the article, which is on why Daryl Dixon is such a compelling character.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it on Twitter feed, and he retweeted it. And
so
he
awesome.
Also he also then went ahead and he put it on his Facebook timeline.
That's so cool.
Which was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Norman. You're amazing. So lots of new people came to read my words about Daryl Dixon, and hopefully they'll come back. And the feedback has been really, really, really positive. And it's been tweeted and posted on forums and all kinds of things. And I'm really grateful for that little bit of a push, because I've just only in the last couple months, as you know, started writing about The Walking Dead. And
right.
writes about The Walking Dead.
Well, we finally got you hooked. I was so happy. Cause
you did.
You
did.
And I feel like, you've got to see it. I knew you would love it because, it's the character development. The fact of the matter is that they take time to do that. And the writers are so incredible.
But those first two minutes that they, and by the way, if you want to go and watch the first 2 minutes, you can go on AMC.com and click on Walking Dead, and it's there. Or you can go to Blog Critics, and I also posted the video this morning. So you can go there as well. But, oh my gosh. I mean, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it's like, it's really powerful. First 2 minutes. It had me in tears.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I felt bad for the fact that, you know, I can't remember the kid's name that was going to help her escape and everything. And then he got away.
Oh, right.
What was his name? I can't remember.
Noah.
Anyway.
Noah,
thank you. I don't know why I can't remember his name all the time. But it was really sad, you know. He was just devastated. And, I mean, I think everyone the entire group is really going to, each one of them is going to be affected, you know, deeply. It's so hard because Beth was a character that I think, you know, she was connected to everyone in her own little way, but they all kind of got to know her better. You know, when she first started on, she was just sort of, you know, Maggie's little sister, and she just was, but, you know, through, especially last season, the scenes with Daryl, she sort of, like, started to come into her own, and she was proving, you know, she could be a warrior, too. And so the whole thing is just so devastating. I know I'm going to be like, okay, where's the Kleenex? Because, you know, they're going to bury her. And now they're going to go try and find Noah's home, which I think that's going to be interesting.
In Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to see what's left, if there is anything left. Or are they going to come upon some more crazies? You know, that's the potential.
Right.
The other thing is, what the hell is Morgan?
He's going to be around, though. He is.
I mean, they've been really keeping him under the wraps, man. I mean, we've seen two glimpses of him so far. But, I mean, you know, with 8 episodes to go, I'm anxious to see what he's doing. Like, is he tracking them for some other reason, you know? That's what I'm wondering. It's going to be interesting to see what they
do. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he always plays kind of sneaky characters, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly, and so that's the thing. It's like, you know, are we going to be able to really trust what he's doing? Because he was a hot mess the last time Rick
was. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's all holed up and everything, and so it's kind of like, oh, my God, what is he doing? And I can't imagine that he's really normal at this point. After he was such a mess before, I mean, he may be even deeper into whatever paranoia he had before.
Right.
So that's, you know. But it's so funny. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier about the whole crack and slash scene in the premiere of this season. Boy, that was tough to watch. Oh my God.
I'm going to make another divergence here because I actually, okay. I found the site. I found it.
Oh, yay. Okay.
It's like, what's it's got it? like no nothing. I mean, it's got no graphics or anything, but
right.
It's like, it's, I'm going to actually post the link for you. And anyone else. It's a real mess, but there it is.
Okay.
It's so fun.
Are you posting it in the chat box or where are you?
I just did. Yeah, I just
did. Okay, hold on. I got to go to the chat box. I'm not even in there.
So, yeah, I've got my X-Files link. Oh, my gosh. Mulder Torture Anonymous. That's a fanfic site. This is what I said about it.
Oh, okay. I see.
This fanfic site is a home for stories of high angst and physical nastiness. The stories range from short vignettes to novel length, mild anguish to horrific physical torture. For those who are so disposed, there is a slash division as well. The site is updated frequently and has a rating system. Then SPCDD, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to David Duchovny, that's like a big site. X review.
Oh my God.
Richard. Oh my God. These names like just come out of
hilarious.
Yeah. XFU X Files University. Oh my gosh. So much fun. Very much fun. and then my reviews. I have all these. I don't have that many. Oh, is that right? Oh. Wait a second. I have Redux 2, Rain King, The Beginning, Dreamland 1,
oh,
Emily, Folia de Triangle, Postmodern Prometheus.
Triangle, I loved.
Well, that's... Oh, wait.
Triangle was one of my favorites.
Oh, wait.
And
here we go.
Rain King was
season
hilarious.
One. Oh, wow. I don't have that many. Pilot, Deep Throat, Squeeze, and Conduit. So I don't have that many that I did, unfortunately. Wow, I thought I did more than that. But I did a lot of fanfic. I did like a ton of fanfic. I think I did 25 fanfiction things. So
wow.
I'm going to just have to go back and do some of that more. Anyway, as I said, I digress. So, Oh, before we get back to Walking Dead, I want to talk about a couple of shows that I've been watching that are new. One is on Netflix. And it is called Black Mirror.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. I haven't seen that.
There have been 3 episodes posted so far. It's a BBC show. And for those of you who like Downton Abbey, there are a couple of Downton Abbey people who've been in it. In the first episode, Alan Creech, who plays who's on the series, he's a regular on the series. And then also there are other characters on it. John Hamm is in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's some really big stars, big British stars in it. It's pretty cool. And it's sort of a sci-fi. It's not actually a sci-fi, but it's very creepy and very kind of the consequences of all of the digitalification of the world. Very, very spooky kind of dystopic world. It's a really, really cool show. And I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And then I started watching, or now I'm all caught up with it, which is why I'm really bummed that Jimmy's not here, because I know he watches it, but I have gotten caught up on The 12 Monkeys, which airs Friday night.
Yeah, you were telling me about that one, too. I need to watch
that. Another, oh my gosh, it's like another virus thing. So it's also a time travel thing. It's like the world is into these virus, you know, like nasty
viruses. I know, and I'm behind on Halix.
So
I haven't seen
the paradox.
This episode yet.
This is
the
irony. This is the irony of like all of this. So people are really spooked by things like Ebola and these nasty viruses and these crazy viruses, right? It's like, oh my God, we have to quarantine people and people are going to catch all these terrible viruses. And yet, a virus that had been completely eradicated, 10,000 times more contagious than Ebola.
Oh my God.
Parents were saying, I'm not going to vaccinate my child against measles because it's all a lie. And I'm like, what? What?
Hello. What? What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you people? So
it's
like really, I mean, there's this big measles thing now, and it's like, and I mean, it's like measles kind of disappeared, and because it hasn't been around for a really long time, I mean, I didn't actually know anybody with measles, but my brother's generation.
I never know.
And
the only thing I got was the chicken pox when
I was
little.
And by the time I had kids, there was a chicken pox vaccine. So my kids got Shoshana had chicken pox when she was like 3. But Adam got the vaccine and he never had chicken pox. So but it's like really weird because like we're all like hyper about viruses and nasty viruses killing us all. Yet people are like, well, I'm not going to vaccinate my child against measles, which
I know, I don't get that.
Really bad disease. It's a really nasty, bad disease.
And incredibly contagious.
Yeah. So as a result, my daughter, who has an infant son, he's just 1 year old, is about a couple months early to get his first, to get his MMR shot, his second MMR shot. She was like, her doctor, who's a naturopath, she's like earth mom. You know, she's kind of a crunchy hippie mom. And granola mom. And she sees a naturopath, the baby's doctor's a naturopath, who's really good. I mean, I'm not deriding him at all, but he's really, really good. And he's like, give him the shot, give him the shot. I know it's early, give him the shot. Because and Shoshana was like, yeah, with all of this stuff and the pool of people who are not vaccinating tend to be the kind of people my daughter hangs around with, which are sort of, I'm not putting anything in my child's body. People.
Right. Which this is the thing. I mean, I understand the whole natural thing and all of that, but
well, you live in Seattle.
Yeah, hello. I mean, but, you know, we have to, I don't know. And when it comes to your kids and, like, safeguarding them against these viruses and things, I mean, there's stuff out there that could just, you know, disintegrate us, you know? And I just feel like you have to, you know?
Well, I mean, it is connected to The Walking Dead because, after all.
Yeah.
all those people. Exactly. They had a virus. They got a virus.
They had a virus. That's
they
what
got
it was.
A virus. And look what happened to them. They like turned into zombies. You know,
it's insane.
And
it's so funny too. Speaking of The Walking Dead, I just want to say, on my Facebook, you know, I promote it. You know, I'm always posting stuff on my Facebook page about The Walking Dead and tweeting it out, whatever. And I got this comment from a friend of mine who was like, yeah, I don't watch The Walking Dead. My husband's trying to get me to watch it. Like, I just don't see it. It doesn't make any blah, blah, blah. And she's a soap fan. And I said to her, I said, you know, listen, I said, if you like character development, actual, you know, real life story, I mean, it's about their survival. That's what it is. It's about surviving every single day just to live and just to, not to mention the fact that, you know, now they're homeless again. But you know, so it was really interesting to hear. I always am amazed when a soap fan doesn't pick up The Walking Dead. Because of the fact that, you know, it is serialized in that sense, and each character goes through, you know, these emotional, physical, you know, psychological things over the last 5 seasons. And so it's just, it cracked me up when she said that she just doesn't get, and it's not, that's what I thought. When my brothers kept saying, you got to watch it, you got to watch it. And I'm like, I don't know, zombies. And that's what she said. And I said, but the zombies are secondary. I mean, really what it's about is surviving and living and trying to, you know, make it to the next, through another day.
Right.
And having to defend your group, your family, you know, and the emotional journey that you go through, and not only that, but physical. And then having to deal with other people, you know, other people that are outsiders and trying to figure out, you know, what is their intention, you know, what's their agenda. And that's really what the show is about. I mean, yeah, the zombies are awesome, and but it really is secondary to what the main show is about. And so
and
when
you know,
I tried to explain that,
I know. Like, it's interesting because a lot of people who are zombie, like horror fans, complain about the fact there are very few zombies. Relatively few. There are plenty. Believe me, there are plenty of zombies for my taste.
There are plenty.
Plenty of zombies. My husband
and
just
I like
looked
how they
at me like,
figure
what?
Out a different way to kill them every week. It's like,
you got to get them in the head, right? You got to get them in the head.
Yeah, exactly.
My husband is walking upstairs to his music room, and he's shaking his head, and it's like, what are you talking about?
Come on.
He watches The Walking Dead along with me. It's like,
he likes it, and he loves
does.
It, and he knows it.
He does. So I cannot wait. So what do you think? So that first 2 minutes was really intense, but what do you think is going to happen? I know that it looks like, obviously, Maggie is going to be super, super despondent.
I think
she's got Glenn. You know, she's got Glenn. And hopefully, this is what I'm hoping. So I want Beth's death to have meaning. She was not, I confess, not one of my favorite characters on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people were sort of seeing her and Daryl kind of as a romantic pairing.
Yeah, I like them.
And it's like, that's kind of
nice.
And I really did. I just like so young for him. She was way young for him.
She was 18 or 19. He's like
supposed
40, to be in his late
45 years old.
Yeah, but that's in real life. On screen, he's supposed to be like in his late mid to late
30s.
20s. I mean, that's I don't think
No.
We need to get Norman Reedus on the phone. We need to settle
no
this
way.
For all.
There's
I
no way he's
so.
Supposed to be in his late 20s. No.
He looks like to me, when I first, I mean, I think he's supposed to be in his late 20s.
Nah.
That's my assessment of
especially because, you know what, I mean, you look at Merle and his brother. I mean, his brother is clearly
is
in his 50s. And there's no way that there's no way that there's 25 years of age difference between
them.
No.
I do think that he's when he first came on, I think he's supposed to be like 28, 29. I'll give you maybe by now he might be 34, 35 or something like that. But I mean,
there's not that many years that have passed. I would say late 30s. Definitely late 30s.
Yeah, I don't think late 30s. I think really.
And I think
I would be surprised.
See, I don't know. I really, and again, I'm not, even with the X-Files, I was never a Mulder scholar.
Yeah, you're not a Mulder
scholar. RST, you know, resolved sexual tension person. I'm
really big
on the UST. You know, UST is very important to me.
Right.
I think that the unresolved sexual tension between, the reason I really think it's really cool between Carol and Daryl is that I think that unresolved sexual tension between them, people say, well, you can't sustain that and you can't sustain that and you can't have this sort of little game. But the thing is, they're not playing a game. He's so damaged and he's so socially awkward that I don't think the idea of any kind of sexual interest in Carol even registers with him.
Yeah.
He likes
her. I agree with you on that.
And I don't
think of it that way.
People have said, you know, the article that I wrote, I have had like 30 comments already on it, which is kind of cool. 30 comments on that. But on the Facebook post on Redis's Facebook, there have been something like 350 comments already on it, which is really cool. But some people are saying, well, they see Carol and Daryl as sort of a mother-son thing. I'm like, no way. No. So I don't see that at all. I see that as really being a love of equals, you know?
Right.
Do you have a cat?
Yeah, she's whining at me because she thinks she's hungry already. I'm like, it's not time to... She's been badgering me for like 10 minutes.
She's meowing. It's like I've never heard your cat meow before.
I know. She's like a little... She's 18, but she acts like she's two.
My son has a kitten. He's like 9 months old kitten. Ten months old kitten. Oh my gosh, a Norwegian forest cat. Look up Norwegian forest cat. Those are the most gorgeous cats. Norwegian
really?
Cat. Yeah, gorgeous cat. Feels like an, you know, like you stick your hands into an angora and it's all fluff.
Oh my god.
His cat's name is Xander, like from Buffy.
What is it? Norwegian what?
Norwegian forest cat. So the thing is, I see Carol and Daryl. People have said, oh, you know, and then of course there are Carol shippers who are like, oh yeah, I would really like to see them together. I think one of the cool things is because they're not playing this will they or won't they game so much because the characters, I don't think, are in a good place for a relationship. I think it works really, really well. And I think the only way I could see them this season, and I don't think they will, getting together is that it would be like this extreme situation and it would just happen and they would both feel terrible about it afterwards. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well,
and they would and they would completely back away from it. They would like,
well,
oh my God, this was like the biggest mistake.
Well,
and they would back
how
away.
I see it. I see it that I feel like, you know, she has sort of come full circle with all of her issues that she had to deal with. And now he needs to do that. And until that happens and he kind of works through all of his emotional sludge that he has, I don't see anything happening between them until that happens. But, I mean, I think that it will at some point because they are really close. You can tell there is that sexual tension. I mean, just in that last episode, episodes before the finale, you know, I mean, there's definitely, and I think that, you know, to a certain extent, it would sort of be like, oh, finally, to the fans. But
he needs to work through a lot. You know, she's flirted with him a lot. You know, I mean, even from the beginning of season 3, you know, she's been a little flirty.
Right.
With, And you know, she's looking for a guy. I mean, you know, there's no question.
And I mean,
and when
she's,
you know,
lonely too. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Look at everything that she's been through. And
yeah.
The funny thing is, I think there is a scene, if I remember, and I can't remember what, if it was season two. It might have been season two or three, but there was a scene where she was like, "Hey, you want to have sex or something?"
Right. That was season.
It was a
that
scene.
Was season three.
Was it,
was
two,
season
three?
Three?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was the first episode of season three, when he's being watched up on the he's keeping watch up on the, you know, by the prison.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, there are those lovely moments between them. You know, and the one during, you know, in episode one of season four, where, you know, he's all of a sudden this kind of rock star of the group, and you know,
right.
Oh, I liked you, remember, I liked you first, and
yeah,
and then they
exactly.
pulled them apart, and it was interesting to see in season three when Daryl didn't come back with them, with
right.
Rick, and he went off with Merle.
Yeah.
How devastated Carol was. I mean,
oh,
Carol
she was
like,
it was,
she couldn't
it was really heartbreaking to watch because she was just really what
she was
like,
amazing.
I
Melissa
think she
McBride
ever,
really, really sold that scene.
Yeah,
where she
just
breaks down in front of Rick.
Yeah, and I just didn't think that she ever expected that from him. You know,
and then
I
when she's banished, Daryl's reaction, people said, "Oh, well, he didn't react enough." And I'm like, yeah, I think he reacted.
He did.
I think he really
yeah.
did. And then when they're finally
totally
reunited
did.
In episode one of this season, I mean, that hug, that was
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my God, I'm so
yeah,
glad that I'm
I
you again.
Love that.
You know,
and
when...
very long time in coming, too. I mean,
you know,
was...
and right. And then also in season three, and I'm kind of going back and forth and remembering these
mm-hmm.
little moments, you know, when he believes that she's dead. He goes to
right.
her brain,
oh.
right, and puts that Cherokee rose there. And then when he finds her, he's sure that that motion behind that cell is
mm-hmm.
Carol turned into a zombie. And he
right.
can't bring himself. That whole thing where he's pacing and he's digging
right.
his knife into the wall and he's just, he knows he's got to do this, but he doesn't know if he can. This is a guy who's killed how many zombies? And how many of his friends?
Well, not
and how many
that,
of his colleagues? But knowing that it was her?
Her, right.
He couldn't bring himself to do it.
It's so funny because very early on when he first comes on in season two, you know, he's so, you know, he's kind of volatile. He's like, F you.
Yeah,
you know,
season
he's all
one,
pissed
yeah.
off. They left Merle. And,
yeah,
you know,
season
the whole
one.
Thing and he, yeah,
yeah.
And he just kind of, you know, but through that, all that, and then everything that Carol went through with the husband and everything, you know, Daryl was right there with her.
Yeah.
And even when, you know, the husband dies and, you know, Carol's like, no, I got to do it. I mean, he let her, like, go off on the, you know, her husband's body and everything. But ever since that moment, you know, and I think it was the moment when he realized that, you know, the husband was beating on her and was, you know,
yeah.
just an asshole, you know, he just sort of looked out for her and it's sort of been ever since that moment.
Yeah.
And so the thought of him, you know, to even think that she had turned into, you know, a zombie and he would have to put her down was just probably, I mean,
he couldn't
I can't
even consider
imagine.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And
so there
and
have been so many.
To watch, so.
Yeah, and that's been really, really, those have been so many lovely moments like that. And then when he finds her. And so I think there have been some great moments. And so I want to get back to what I think is going to happen. So, you know, Maggie, of course, is going to be ripped apart. And she's got Glenn. And what I'm really hoping will happen is that Glenn and Maggie's story, I think, really has sagged and stagnated.
I agree with you on that. 100%.
I think it's really, you
it's
know, it's
boring.
Like that whole syndrome of the really nice, happy couple, as happy as anyone
mm-hmm.
can be in the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
You know, they're happy, they're well-adjusted, blah, 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 blah. Boring. Really boring.
Right.
It's like Prince Charming and Snow White, right?
Exactly.
It's not compelling. There's no conflict there.
It's not compelling. They're just boring right now. Like, I don't know what needs to happen.
So I think that Beth's death will serve that narrative. That narrative leap, you know, that it'll be needed. And I think that it will give that conflict and it'll give Maggie a really bad place to be in, so that we'll see how Maggie reacts and also how Glenn reacts to that. You know, I think it's a really great plot point. I think it's a really great plot mover with them.
Yeah,
Okay, so I want to kind of
get a shave, man. Rick, your beard is way too thick, man.
totally. So Rick, by the way, I would love to see. Speaking of couples, I would love to see Rick and Michonne.
Thank you. I love them, and I mean, like, it's so funny. That's another relationship which is hilarious. I mean, you know, He didn't want her around at all in the beginning, and now to see them so close and. You know, and I love that Carl looks, you know, really kind of looks up to her and respects her.
Yeah.
And I just think they need to just, you know, pull the plug. I mean, you know, pull the cord or whatever you want to say it. They need to do that because it needs to happen.
Yeah. So you have Maggie and Glenn, and of course Rick, who's the leader of the group, is of course going to be just devastated about Beth. He is devastated about her death. This was, you know, Herschel's dead, now Beth is dead. It's really, he and Carl and Beth were good friends.
Carl's
going to be devastated. You got Noah. You've got the people who really didn't know Beth. You've got Abraham and you've got Eugene.
Right.
You've got Tara and you've got, you know, all of the Rosita and that part of the group. You have that part of the group who weren't really part of it. So you're going to have them sort of, let's move it on and let's get going and blah, blah, blah. I think, you know, let's get this done. We have to get going, blah, 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 blah.
And they're not going to want. I think I think there's going to be some type of a clash going on with that. Maybe.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a clash between that faction and the original faction, and maybe
agree.
A splitting.
I agree.
You know,
with you
don't know if there's going to be a splitting of that. So, and they're going to be heading up to Virginia,
right.
And maybe find a place
in hopes of finding a new home
community
or whatever. Community. I kind of would like to see them succeed. I mean, I understand, you know, they're going to have to battle, you know, some whatever. But, you know, they've been also, I mean, after the whole Terminus thing, they have all been through the ringer, and it would be nice.
Right. They haven't
have
had any
them,
stability at all.
Yeah, to have a little bit of stability for just a little while, to give them time. To recuperate and kind of re-energize.
So,
I mean, they all look like they're just beaten down, especially,
well,
I mean,
yeah.
when Daryl brought Beth out, that was just, I start crying, and it's so horrible.
It's a really, I mean, one of the things that fans have sometimes complained about was, you know, they were at the farm during season two and it went on too long and they seemed too happy and you hardly saw any zombies. And then they're in the prison. And I think the prison scene, there was a really nice balance.
Yeah.
And I think what happened, however, was the way that they were trying to find this balance between this real serialized storytelling and then telling the individual stories of individual characters. So you would go off, we had two episodes in a row of The Governor. And those people who love The Governor, who are fans of the comic book, probably just loved that. Not being a big fan of the comic, I thought there was two episodes where we didn't see any of our core characters. And that kind of like, okay, fine.
That really upset me. Yeah,
whatever.
I wasn't happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that's, they have to kind of find that balance. And I think for the back eight of the season, I think they will. I mean, I really think now they're all together. They've been separated for 16 episodes. I mean, really, for 16 episodes, because the back half of season 4 and the front half of, although they have been together, they haven't really been together in season 4. You know, they did get together at the beginning of season 4, and then Carol and Daryl went off, and you had Glenn and Maggie with Abraham and Eugene, and then you had Michonne and the good father and Rick and Carl and Judith in another place, and then you had Tyrese and Sasha. And everyone was fractured apart again. So it'd be nice to see them all together for a change.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
It'll be nice to have sort of a throwback that we haven't had since the middle of season 3.
Right.
So it would be nice for them to sort of
very long
chill out a little bit.
Exactly.
So really excited. I can't wait till Sunday night. I'm really excited.
I know.
And I'm really excited to be writing about the season again every week, and I will be sometime before the premiere, I think. I have a couple of other articles to write. I actually did interviews with the creators of a new movie. It's a documentary called The Score, and it is about the art of soundtrack writing.
Interesting.
With Danny Elfman is going to be in it, and
neat.
It's going to be narrated by Leonard Maltin. So it's really going to be very cool. I'm very excited. When I talked to the creators, I interviewed them. They mentioned, said, you know, Bear McCreary, who does the music for Walking Dead and movies and other television, he's got a really cool site. They said, yeah, he's on their short list for other people they want to interview for the movie. So it should be really cool. They sent me the teaser. I'm the first media person to get it. I've got that. I've got to do the interview. They're actually funding. So they're doing this movie, and they've got it mostly done. But to finish it, they're doing crowdsource funding. They're doing a Kickstarter
starting
on February 15th, which is kind of cool. And so I that's what the interview is all about, sort of saying, hey, this is happening, and you all should be involved in this. And so I have to get that up tomorrow. And so I'm hoping to get my article on Rick Grimes up sometime before Sunday, because I want to do with Rick Grimes what I did with Daryl Dixon and sort of give it a kind of character profile. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do any of the other characters, but at this point. But get that up before Sunday, and then starting next week, publish a weekly piece on The Walking Dead. So very excited about that.
I can't wait to see it.
Wanted to mention, really good TV viewing, The 12 Monkeys, followed by Helix on Friday night. I am all caught up with 12 Monkeys. I think there have been 3 episodes. And it's getting better and better. Time travel is incredibly difficult to do on television, but they are doing a good job with it. And Helix is just really strange this season. It's like, oh my gosh, they're on this. It's like really strange. And Black Sails on Saturday night, the second episode just aired. And yay, Captain Flint has his crew back in his ship. And
oh, he does? Okay, because I didn't see it yet.
Spoiler alert.
That's all right.
Yeah, he does. I just love him. I love that show. I love the score. I love the acting. I love the characters. It is just so much fun. There's a new big baddie this season called Captain Lowe. And boy, he's a psychotic one. And the thing that I really love is that we're getting backstory on Flint, how he actually came to be the pirate. And he starts out as a British naval officer.
Right.
And we're getting this sort of the relationship that he builds with the Earl and the head of the Admiralty, and but also we get a sense that even though, and he's a lieutenant, a lieutenant in British,
lieutenant
is what it's called in British, it's pronounced lieutenant in British speech, but he's not a gentleman. And you get a lot of this kind of class conflict and a lot of prejudice against him from other naval officers who maybe don't even outrank him because of the class difference. And he's provoked to get into a fight. And, you know, he's really told to keep, you know, there's a darkness to him. And when he feels that there's an injustice against him, and you really see that, and it gets him into trouble, not only as a naval officer, I assume, but also as a pirate. It's kind of led to his getting into trouble from time to time. But he is really a self-made man, but he can't overcome the very rigid class structure of 18th century Britain. And it's really, really interesting. And the whole thing with the pirates is a lot of those guys who were educated but not quote-unquote gentlemen tried to create in Nassau, which is how they pronounce it, in the Bahamas in the 18th century, this sort of free society where there were no class distinctions. Everything that you were, every bit of rank that you had was based on fair votes. You know,
right.
That's why the captain wasn't appointed by an admiral. He was voted by the crew. So it's really interesting to see how class is sort of talked about.
Right.
Feminism. And it's a real, I love it. You got to get caught up, Chrissy.
I know.
I know you're very excited about Sleepy Hollow sort of coming back into the film as well.
I can't wait. I'm like, oh my God. Well, Mondays are crazy. Usually the weekends are crazy, but basically last night was very cool because the producers actually tweeted that they mentioned me at Sleepy Attic, so I was happy. I was like, yay. And, you know, the show is resetting itself, and it's been really good. I mean, you know, it's been a hard season, but yeah, so I'm supposed to go to New York in a couple of weeks. So yeah, if anybody's in the New York area and you want to go to the Sleepy Hollow season finale party, you can just contact me on @SleepyAddicts and I'll give you the info, because it's going to be fun. I'm not sure who's, I think they're trying to get a couple of the producers, and I don't know. I think they've reached out to, I think, Sakina Jaffrey, because she lives in the area, and I think, I don't know, John Noble I know is in town, but I don't know what's going on, if they're going to actually be there or whatever. But even if not, it's going to be fun to be kind of, you know, in the middle of everything, trying to, you know, with the fans and stuff like that. So I'll have all kinds of reports. And I'm going to try and fan video together and stuff. So
nice.
It'll be fun. Nice. I hear it's going to be good. So we'll
Very
see.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, my article has hit 30,000 page views today.
Yay.
My Daryl Dixon
exciting.
Article. That's really exciting.
It is.
Yeah, I mean,
well, like it makes such a difference when they think it's cool that he thought, you know, and you write wonderfully, you know. So I mean, obviously, you know, that it was worthy enough for him to tweet and post. I thought that was really cool.
It was really
so great.
He is great. He was really, really nice, and I hope very, very much to interview him at Comic-Con. I have to get into the press room at Comic-Con.
Oh, I know.
The Walking Dead.
You
it's a really
both.
hard ticket to get.
It is. I tried last year.
It's not. You don't get tickets to it. I mean, it's a hard invitation to get.
I tried to get in last year, and I mean, I was on sort of a waiting list, but I mean, that, you know, the PR person was just like, they've got big major people, you know, it must be like just a cray cray press room, but a fun press room, but it must be just insane. Sort of like the Once Upon a Time press room, but they
actually
had it pretty organized. Actually,
the biggest press room that I was at last summer was Rainn Wilson Backstrom. Oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe I'll go to that. So the biggest press room that I was at last year at Comic-Con was for The Strain, and largely because of Guillermo del Toro, right? So the press room was huge. It was in one of the big gigantic rooms, and it's a big cast. So they're trying to get everyone to us, and we're sitting at tables of 10. And we were being sneaky because we actually took some chairs away, so there were only six of us at our table. it was like Sunday. It was like the last day, and they'd actually had breakfast set out for us. It was really nice.
Nice.
But FX is just, I love FX. But they had this all out, and so all this cast, and so we didn't get to some people like David Bradley, who's like so great as Abraham Satrakian, and some of the guys didn't get. Most of them did get to us. Guillermo sat with us for like a half an hour. It was like I did like a one-on-one with him for like 20 minutes practically. Some of them didn't get to us, and they came. The PR people from FX came to our table, and they said, "We are really, really sorry. We have to go because their panel. Usually, it's the panel and then the press room. Well, this was the press room and then the panel. So they had to get to the press. They had to get to the panel in Hall H. And so they came to us and they said, "Hey, we know you guys." Aren't going to get to hear any because we have to do the panel, but we want to give you guys all like VIP passes to the panel.
No, that's cool.
So they gave us all VIP passes to the panel. So we could, like, we went in and we were like sitting in the front. It was really, really, they were really,
that's
really
awesome.
Nice. And they said, "Oh, make sure you get your gummies." And cause they had like worms. It was really cool.
Awesome.
But yeah, so that was like the biggest one. There must have been 200 people in this press room. It was huge. But they were really, really, really. FX is just so lovely to deal with anyway.
FX and Fox. I mean, honestly, I've had such
great experience
with them. Yeah, they're just. I mean, the whole and the, I don't know.
They're
I
very
just
press friendly.
They are very press friendly. They're very fan friendly, which is amazing. I mean, what they've done. I mean, they care enough, is what I mean. I mean, most of the other networks that of shows that I watch. I mean, honestly, they could give a crap what the fans are screaming about.
And I think
Sleepy Hollow. I mean, they changed. I mean, they're making changes, major changes, based on what the fans want. I mean, that doesn't happen all the time.
Well, I think that's what it is. This is what I think it is, that there are certain networks that get that the media doesn't begin and end with CNN and Entertainment Tonight and EW and People Magazine. And I think that there are some networks who get that. HBO gets that. Fox gets that. FX gets that. Sci-Fi gets that. NBC gets that. So and NBC and all of it's because Sci-Fi is part of NBC and all that. But so I think that those guys really are great about saying, "Hey, do you want an interview?" Or, "Hey, do you want this?" Or, "Here, we're going to have a you know, do you want screeners? Do you know we're doing this? Do you want to come?" So I think for the TV networks, I think that CBS is tough. ABC is also really good to deal with generally, and so you know I think really CBS that caters to an older audience is
I agree with you on that. I mean, anyway, we are,
we're out of time.
We're almost out of time. Wow, that was fast.
I know. Well, we'll see you next Tuesday to talk about The Walking Dead. Maybe we'll even have time to talk a little bit of Once Upon a Time, since it'll be getting closer to the mid-season premiere.
We're getting closer, to the big thing. Yep, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
Well, cool.
Take care, and see y'all next week, everyone.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.